Good morning, good evening, good afternoon, good whatever you are in the world to everyone. And this is our CCWG Workstream 2 plenary call. And today we have, of course, a full agenda. And I would like to remind everyone.
Hi, everyone. This is Thomas Sikat speaking. I think that Leon's line has dropped because obviously we can't hear him anymore. So we would like to welcome everyone to this call. We would like you to present us with SOIs. If you have updates to SOIs or if you haven't filed your SOI so far, also, please mute your microphones when not speaking, because otherwise we're going to get a lot of echo, which makes it very difficult for everyone to follow the call. And I'd like to do the roll call based on the attendees we see in the remote participation room. So let me ask who is only on audio. We heard that Jeff Newman is only on audio and not in the Adobe room. So if there are more folks just on the audio line, please make yourself heard so we can add you to the roll call. Is there anyone else just on the phone line? Okay, so that doesn't seem to be the case. And Leon stole my words because I wanted to mention to you that Mathieu is on holiday, well-deserved, so he's not with us today, and Leon and I will share this call jointly. I hope that Leon will be with us shortly again. Also, I'd like to remind everyone of the ICANN standards of behavior, expected standards of behavior, which will make it much easier for everyone to interact. So that's agenda item number one. Let's now take a look at agenda item number two. And that is the review of the agenda. And I understand that that Alan Greenberg has asked to deal with the first reading of the of Laurie's team, the accepted the standard. Excuse me. A little bit earlier in the call. I do not think that Laurie is with us already. So let me just check. Laurie, are you with us? So I think it will be difficult to deal with this topic without Laurie. I'm not sure whether Laurie has appointed someone to step in for her. Has anyone been appointed by Laurie to present the paper? So that doesn't seem to be the case. But let me say that we would try to honor such requests as we can logistically. So whoever files such a request, we will try to our best abilities to honor that. I think our limitation for this request is that Laurie is not yet there, so we can check with her. I would suggest that we keep our eyes open to see if and when Laurie joins, and once she's with us, we will ask her whether she's ready to deal with her part of the agenda so that we can then move her slot up in the agenda, hopefully taking place before the top of the hour, Ellen. I hope that is acceptable. Are there any further comments or requests with respect to the agenda?
This is Greg Chatton. It would be good if we could deal with the jurisdiction slot before the top of the hour as well.
Okay, so let me suggest this. Let's move to the administration section, which is agenda item number 3. Before we move to the legal committee update, we're going to deal with the jurisdiction update, which is going to be very quick anyway, but Greg, let's do it then, and then I think we have enough headroom before the top of the hour so that we can even squeeze in Laurie's paper as well. So legal update is going to take place before we move to agenda item number 4. Okay, so let's now move to the third agenda item, which is going to start with the action items. So from the previous call, we had a couple of action items, the first of which was the good faith subteam to review and present to the plenary as first reading at the next plenary, which in fact is this meeting. So this is going to be dealt with, so the action item can be deemed closed. Then we have the HR FOI, staff to move the FOI to public comment and advise the plenary when it goes up. That's on hold for this meeting, so I hope that we're going to be able to resolve this when we get to that point in our agenda. The third action item is relating to the jurisdiction subteam, and that is for staff to prepare a publication of the questionnaire and advise plenary when it goes up. The response from staff is that it should go up this week, so I hope that is acceptable for everyone. And then we have the transparency subteam, actually two action items for that subteam, first one of which is subteam rapporteurs to share the list of open discussion items for consideration on the plenary mailing list, and staff to set up a joint meeting between the Ombudsman and the transparency group to review interdependency. So that is completed, and as you will have seen in preparation for this call, the transparency subteam has prepared its report for first reading, so we're going to get to that in a few minutes later during this call. Last action item on this is the timeline. We asked the rapporteurs to submit revised timelines to the co-chairs. We have not received feedback to this from all subteams. So we know, for example, that Avery and team are slipping over by like 2 weeks, but we would like to encourage those who have not yet provided feedback to us to do so as soon as practically possible, because we would need such revised timelines in order to plan our resources and also to be transparent with the chartering organizations and the community about the additional time and resources we might need to complete our task. Then, last thing, or the next item in the administrative section is a quick update on ATRT 3. So we do know that some chartering organizations have already dealt with this. Some are about to deal with this. So if memory doesn't fail me, and I would like to encourage all of you to chime in if I get this wrong, the CCNSO has planned to deal with this during its upcoming call. And I see that Leon is with us again. So, Leon, would you like to speak to the ATRT free status? I don't want to steal your thunder.
Thank you very much, Thomas. Thank you very much, Thomas. This is Leon Sanchez. I'm back in the call. And yes, we have received agreement from chartering organizations as to the limited scope that we proposed on ATRT 3. And if I'm not mistaken, we have received agreement from three of the chartering organizations, being these the ALAC, the CCNSO, and the ISAC. I think, I'm not sure. Please do correct me, Bernie, if I'm wrong here. And we would be only waiting for the GAC response, in order to proceed with this limited scope. Yes, the ALAC, CCNSO, and SAC. So we are on track with that. And if we could, of course, encourage our friends from the GAC and the GNSO to provide with a reply to our recommendation, that will be great. I believe that GNSO will be speaking on this on their next call, and I would hope that the GAC could also be doing this anytime soon. So that is where we are standing on in regard to our recommendation with ATRT3. And we have also another item on travel funding. And for that, I would like to handle the floor to Bernie to remind us where we stand on in regard to travel funding for item 59. So, Bernie, could you please take the floor?
Thank you, Leon. Very quickly, if we're going to meet the ICANN travel timeline for funding, we have to begin the month-long process Friday next week for ICANN 59 in South Africa. And the proposal will be to have the same rules as we had for ICANN 58. And now that we're planning properly and should not have a timing issue, there should only be one round. So basically looking for approval from the plenary to go forward with the same rules as ICANN, funding for ICANN 58, and only one round. Thank you. Over to you, Leon.
Thank you very much, Bernie. So time passes by really quickly, and we need to work on this as soon as the time frame is open for applications. And, of course, we will provide you with more information in a timely fashion. But as Bernie said, the rules will be the ones that we have been applying so far. In regard to our working methods, we have dropped our leadership calls in order to leave more room for people to do the things that they need to do on a day-to-day basis. And we're only having these when we have some urgency or some urgent matter. And one thing that we have adjusted in our working methods is that in order to be able to have first and second readings, the rapporteurs should get a formal okay from their subgroups on whatever documents they will be submitting to the plenary list, and these documents should be sent to the plenary list at least 7 days prior to our plenary. So, of course, we encourage all the rapporteurs from the different subgroups to plan, of course, ahead and be able to send whatever documents you want to submit for our plenaries with these anticipations, so everyone can have a look at the documents, and when we get to our plenary, everybody is on the same page in regards to the discussion that we will have. So I guess that concludes our administration portion of the agenda. And next, we have a very brief update on the legal committee update. We have no pending requests on in regards to the legal committee. We are pending, however, one answer from ICANN Legal in regard to the transparency group. They have replied that they are working on it. We have no estimate time for a reply, but I expect that this would be sooner rather than later. So that's all we have in regard to legal requests. And our next agenda item would be the updates from the subgroups. But first, I would like to confirm whether there are any objections to the proposed new working methods that I highlighted. I mistakenly went to the legal committee update before asking for any objections on this issue. So if there are no objections on the proposed working methods and the anticipation that we should be providing with the documentation for the plenary, then we can move forward. And I see no objections as to the proposed working methods. So I guess we are all in agreement with the proposed way forward. So our next agenda item is the updates from the different subgroups. And at this point, I think that we could squeeze in the first reading on good faith principles, but we don't have Laurie on the call yet, so I don't think that's going to be possible. We'll continue to wait for Laurie. And then I would like to turn to Niels Tenover for the human rights subgroup update. Niels, can you please provide us with a quick update on the human rights subgroup?
Yes, I'd love to. Hello, everyone, and hello, Leon. So, first of all, the subgroup would like to thank the co-chairs for their guidance provided on our work, especially the guidance that we should follow Annex 12 of the CCWG Workstream 1 report, because that gives us a lot of hold to see where we need to go, because that annex says that considerations should be part of the framework of interpretation. And that means that for clarity's sake, our subgroup decided it might be better to not submit a framework of interpretation separate from a considerations document. But since Annex 12, it should be one document, we should also present it for public comment as one document, which means that we need a bit more time to work on the considerations. And that work is luckily already going forward. We had a call on that yesterday. A small drafting team is taking the lead, and we're discussing that weekly. And therefore, we would like to ask the plenary to disregard the framework of interpretation that has been shared with the plenary before, and of which we have already had two readings. We'd like them to disregard that. And then we expect to come back soon with an integrated document which integrates the considerations and the framework of interpretation. And then finally, we would like to ask staff to hold off on publishing the public comments. We hope that that the plenary can find itself in this proposed way forward by the subgroup. And we do not think this is going to affect any deadlines, and we will be able to propose this to the plenary well in time before May.
Thank you very much, Niels, for this update. This is very good news, and I see that you're already working on it and that this will not impact your timeline. And I see Cavus' hand is up, so Cavus, could you please take the floor?
Yes, good time or day or night to everybody. No problem with the suggestions of Niels, but I have two comments to make. Independently, I would like that the secretariat also included in the note. At this stage of the work, we should avoid to inject new ideas into the process. Last night, we had an idea. Somebody says that I can community and I can organization. I don't understand this at all, this issue. We don't need such distinction, and we don't need to get into unnecessary discussion and generate hours and hours of disagreement. This is number one. Number two, again, last night we have discussed the issue of implications or application of human rights to the policies of the ICANN, and people talk that all policy, PVP policy of the GNSO is not subject to any human rights when it is considered by ICANN court. However, on the contrary, people mention that the GAC advice is subject to examinations of conformity and consistency with human rights. I totally disagree with this course of action. We must treat all of them equally. Either ICANN board, with respect to the consideration of GAC advice and DNSO and CNSO recommendation, has to seek the consistencies of them with the human rights or not. But we do not want to exclude GNSO and include GAC. This is not a proper course of action. Once again, GAC should not be marginalized and should not be put in a disadvantage. Unfortunately, there are not sufficient GAC numbers participating in many of the groups, only one or two. That's all. That we are surrounded by the considerable number of the GNSO people, and they push for something, and the chair does not listen to us. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Kavus. The notes have been taken, and I think that this will reflect, of course, on the notes from this call. But I would definitely advise that we keep this discussion for now at the subgroup level. This is something that I think that the subgroup needs to flesh out and to sort out. And, well, we do encourage the rapporteurs and the participants of the subgroup to reach an agreement as to the comments that you have made, which are, of course, very constructive. Thank you very much, Kavus. I see Greg Shatton's hand is up, and that is perfect because I will then jump to you, Greg, on jurisdiction questionnaire, but please do take the floor for whatever comments you have.
Thank you, Leon. Greg Shatton, for the record. Just to remark briefly that there seems to have been some miscommunication. I don't recall. I was on the same call as Kavus. I don't recall anybody suggesting that GNSO policy recommendations are not subject to the bylaws, including the human rights bylaw. Clearly, any policy recommendation to the board would be considered with regard to the mission, commitments, and core values. So it would be folly for a clear disregard for any of the mission, commitments, or core values to be inherent in GNSO policymaking. So there just seems to have been some perhaps a miscommunication or misunderstanding on that idea. Also, as far as the distinction between ICANN, the organization, and ICANN, the community, and ICANN, the ecosystem, I would note that our CEO makes that distinction. I would say that distinction is generally helpful where there are different actors or acts that are taking place, and consider who is taking the lead on things. Obviously, there's a lot of interrelationships. These are not bright lines necessarily, but I think it's a concept that has been advanced in good faith and in terms of analysis of the document we're preparing. So I just wanted to kind of clarify prior remarks for those who were not able to or are not part of the jurisdiction, or rather the HR call. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Greg. And as I said earlier, I would definitely encourage the group to continue this discussion at the subgroup level and continue with our agenda for today.
Okay.
And I see Tijani's hand is up. Tijani, if this is to continue the discussion on the issue that's been pointed by Kavus, I would definitely encourage to have this discussion at the sub-level group. If it is some other comment, please, you are welcome to take the floor.
Yes, it was only to confirm, Tijani speaking, it was only to confirm that I do think that this is something that we have to discuss in our working group, in our subgroup. We started speaking about that last night, and there is two different points of view, and I don't think we decided anything. We don't have to bring anything to the plenary if we don't have something from the group, not from a part of the group or from another part from the group. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Tijani. So I would now like to move to our next agenda item, which is the jurisdiction questionnaire. And for that, I would like to hand the floor to Greg Shatton to present. Greg, you have the floor.
Thank you. Greg Shatton again, for the record. The jurisdiction subgroup has, as you all know, prepared the questionnaire, which has been approved by this plenary. A final version, along with an announcement blurb, if you will, was forwarded to the ICANN translations team, I think early to mid last week. My understanding that we should be receiving it back from the translation subgroup as early as today. That would be translation into each of the ICANN languages. As soon as that is back to us and we double check that to whatever need that, ever since it needs to be checked for those who might be native speakers of those languages, but I don't necessarily expect that we would, you know, go into some extended round of checking. That would be published on the public comment page of the ICANN website, or rather a link to it would be published on that page, and then a page with the questionnaire would be presented. There will be a mailbox, a special email address and list created to receive those comments. In order to give adequate time after the Copenhagen meeting for those who may learn about this questionnaire at the Copenhagen meeting, and also to allow discussion by the GAC in their face-to-face sessions, which is, you know, the primary working method of the GAC, and to allow GAC members in turn to communicate afterwards to their stakeholder communities. We are keeping the questionnaire response period open until April 17th, we are encouraging people to submit their responses to the questionnaire at any time, which hopefully will mean that we will get some earlier in the comment period, and our working method will be to review those comments or responses as they come in, and then of course we will review all responses equally regardless of when they come in, but in terms of working method, we do want to get a head start, if you will, because this is a longer period than we were initially intending to have, and then our timeline is under pressure because of the extension of the timeline into mid-April. For the same reason, of course, this will not be extended for any additional period of time after the April 17th date, because that would have, you know, even greater effects on our timeline and ability to stay anywhere near the overall time frame of our work. So once the questionnaire is published, I'm sure we will all be notified of that. I encourage everyone to publicize it within their groups, within groups outside of ICANN as well, and wherever they interact with people on matters related to ICANN, internet governance, and the like. I'm sure that you will all look forward to doing that, and the jurisdiction subgroup looks forward to receiving responses, And responses, of course, can and should come from any member of this plenary as well. So I would ask you all to consider responding. Or if you are interested, it's never too late to join the jurisdiction subgroup. And, of course, the scope of our discussions is broader than the scope of the questionnaire. The questionnaire is designed to get some fairly specific inputs to our work, but it does not define the scope of our work. So with that, I will yield the floor. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Greg, for this very useful update. I am happy that the final reached an agreement on publishing the questionnaire and the date set for the deadline, and that the subgroup had in mind the different working methods from the different organizations, and it's good to see that you left room for the GAC to be able to respond to this questionnaire in their officially adopted methods. And I see Caboose has his hand up. So, Caboose, would you like to make a short comment on this?
There's two small things. The first one, the openness or opening of this group to everybody should be included in the note of this meeting, because Vice Chair of the GAC, I was asked her why she is not participating. She says that she is not allowed to participate because the group is already decided. I said that no, anytime you can send a message to the co-rapporteur or rapporteur, whatever name, and you could be included. So there should be, there is no limit at all. And also in one of the outside ICANN meeting, somebody mentioned that the meeting is closed, and I mentioned that not at all, it is not closed. So please put in the note of this meeting that meetings, all meetings of subgroup are open to everybody, provided that the chair is informed and he is properly registered to the mechanism. The second question is that plenary needs to request the jurisdiction group to study the ways and means how the responses will be analyzed and put them together and assembled in order to be associated to the questions. We have spent 9 weeks to this question, and we would not spend another 18 weeks to the method how to discuss that. So that should be an instruction or request from the CCWG plenary that in the meantime, this methodology, how to analyze and assemble the question and associate the reply to a question, or if there is a need for any clarification, how it should be handled. This must be put in the agenda of the future meeting of the subgroup. And I thank you very much.
Thank you very much, Caboose, and your comments have been reflected in the notes. And, of course, all the subgroups are open for anyone who wants to join to work. And if there's anyone that wants to join, please feel free to contact our MSSI staff, and they will be happy to add you to whatever discussion lists we have for any given subgroup. And, of course, anyone is free to join any calls or any meetings in any of these subgroups. I will now turn to our next agenda item, as I see no other comments on this subject. And for that, I would like to handle the floor to Laurie Shulman for our first reading on Good Faith Principles Guideline. And I think that we have Laurie on the call, and we will also go to a very short update from the Ombuds Group with Sebastian Bachelet, but I would like to continue with the first reading of these guidelines on good faith conduct. And as soon as we finish that, we will jump back to Sebastian for the update on the Ombuds Group. So, Lori, you have the floor.
Thank you so much. Can you all hear me?
We can hear you loud and clear.
Good. Thank you so much. Yeah. So, this, we had a first peek a few weeks ago. I'll call that a first peek at our proposed recommendations. Our group has submitted this report for the initial read. It includes a proposed guideline, some standalone recommendations that came out of discussions that we had. We thought there might be some useful organizational framework type recommendations that we could put forward to help the community when it is engaged in the powers, even if it's not for board removal. So that comes after our more formal proposed guidelines. We also ran the proposed guidelines through ICANN Legal. We asked two questions of ICANN Legal. The first question was whether or not ICANN Legal could see any conflict with them giving an opinion on these guidelines, given that there are times when ICANN Legal may, in fact, represent the board. So we wanted to make sure that there was no issue regarding that and that we wouldn't move on to need some sort of independent review. The answer that we received from ICANN Legal is that no, that ICANN Legal is working for the entire organization, I'll use organization, and that it's important that these guidelines for board removal comport with good corporate governance, which is what ICANN Legal is responsible for overseeing. And that made sense to our group, so we decided then to question two, are the guidelines, do they comport with California law? If we were to implement these guidelines, do we see any possible legal challenges were we to actually use them? And we got a very short answer in one sentence, these comply. So we didn't get a fulsome explanation, but we did get the thumbs up, and that was, again, for the group that gave us enough confidence to feel that we could move forward. This issue of good faith is very subjective, I believe, to our community, and as long as we have guidelines and that we are following them, that should be sufficient to demonstrate good faith in a broader legal context. And I'm happy to take questions now, or we can go through each guideline and I can explain the rationale. I'm happy to do it either way, but presuming that people did read it, I think answering questions from the broader plenary would certainly be welcome.
Thank you very much, Lori, and I think that I agree with you that it would be best if those who have questions can raise them now. The reason for having sent the documents 7 days in advance is, of course, that everyone is able to go through them and focus on the questions that everyone has in our plenary. So I see that the first hand is up, and that is Cavus. Cavus, could you please take the floor?
Yes. Sorry, no specific questions, but just one simple one. Why you call them guidelines? Guideline is a weaker statement of something. It is not a sort of the requirement. Why guideline? Guideline may be applied, may not be applied. We have in other organizations outside ICANN many documents titled as guideline. When we discuss, people say, oh, this is guideline. That's all. It doesn't mean that I have to implement that. Thank you. Is there any reason why you call them guidelines?
Thank you, Cavus. We took the word guidelines from the report itself from Workstream 1, that we wanted to use the word that would allow flexibility in terms of how things are implemented. These aren't hard and fast rules. What these really are a framework for certain behaviors. If you look at the wording itself, even though there is a requirement that the guidelines must be filed, as you look at each requirement, there's a lot of latitude for each SO and AC to do what they feel is in their best interest in terms of what would be a good procedure for entering into a board removal discussion. So this is just a word the community chose. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Lorian. This is correct. This word comes from our Workstream 1 report, and the explanation that you've given, I think it's perfect. So next, I'd like to move to Alan Greenberg. Alan, do you have the
Thank
floor?
Thank you. I guess this is really in response to Cavus. They are guidelines. If you choose, or if an ACSO or a participant chooses to, libel a director and make false claims, which can... where the director could take them to court, then since you did not follow the guidelines, you are not indemnified by ICANN, and you take personal responsibility for it. So from that perspective, they are guidelines. Anyone can choose not to follow them. They'd be rather foolish to do so. But we're doing the group has done its best job to identify what, if you follow these guidelines, then you will be indemnified by ICANN and presumably its insurer. And so from that perspective, they are guidelines. But you have to use judgment call on whether to follow them or not. Thank you.
Yeah, this is Lori. I support Alan's recommendation on that. That's exactly right. This is only about the indemnification. And to remind the plenary that this is about indemnifying the representatives, and there is a legal definition of who the exact individual that this would cover. But if a SOAC decides that it wants to ignore this, it's really advice in a sense that, you know, go your own way, but then there is no guarantee of being reimbursed for legal costs or any other expenses that might inure to you or, you know, accrue to you based on any action.
Thank you very much, Lori. Thank you very much, Alan. And so I see no further questions, no hands up. So as we have come to this first reading, I would now like to call for any objections on the document that we have reviewed. And if we don't have any objections, we could have this concluded as a first reading for our good faith guidelines report. I see Alan Gruber's hands up. Alan, you have the floor.
Thank you very much. This looked like a pretty simple task, and we came into it thinking we knew how to go ahead on it. It took an awful lot more discussion and revision of the documents to get to a point where we were all happy with it. And I'd like to thank Lori for the amount of time, effort, and energy she put into this. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Alan, and I think that we all acknowledge the efficiency by which Lori has conducted this work, and of course the collaboration from all the members of the subgroup. So we thank you all for your work, and as I see no objections on the document that we just reviewed, I would now end this section of our call and declare that we have successfully made the first reading on these guidelines and good faith of conduct in participating in boardroom all discussions. So thank you, Lori, for your participation on this call. And I will now turn to Sebastian Bachelet for an update on the Ombuds Group. Sebastian, you have the floor.
Thank you, Leon. Sebastian Bachelet speaking. It's very short. It's to tell you that the external review request for proposal received 7 answers from different parts of the world, and staff is working on evaluating those responses, and we will deal within the Ombuds. I can office Ombuds during our next call to that. And to add to the question of the timeline, I will not be able to give any real feedback on where and when we will be able to finish our work, because I think that it will really depend on the external review, how they will do the work, and if they will stick with the proposal timeline. But we are doing well for the moment. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Ken, for this update. And I think that the timeline issue relates actually to agenda item number 6 that we will be reviewing a little bit later in the call. And thank you again for this update. So now I would like to turn to our next agenda item or our next point in the agenda, which is the transparency subgroup second reading. And for that, I would like to handle the floor for to one of the rapporteurs, either Michael or Chris. And I think we have Chris on the call. I don't see Mike. So, Chris, could you please take us through the document?
Thanks, Leon. This is Chris. Actually, Michael is available.
So
in
we're
chat room now.
Please.
Yep.
Oh,
Michael, go ahead.
Sorry, I didn't.
But I was going to suggest,
Michael.
But I think. Crosstalk, but I was going to suggest, Chris, why don't you, because I know you have might have to leave a bit early. Do you want to go through your change first?
Sure, that's good. So, Chris Wilson, for the record, real quick, I'm sorry, I do have to leave it at the top of the hour for another ICANN call. But real quick, Michael and I, since we last spoke with you on the last plenary call, we received some feedback both on the plenary call as well as feedback via email for the subgroup. But in particular, on our last plenary call, I know there was some feedback from some members of the plenary with regard to our recommendation concerning transparency into government ICANN interactions. And there was some discussion as to what regarding the sort of exception to that transparency requirement concerning sort of quote-unquote formalized interactions between governments and ICANN. And in response to that feedback, we have revised that particular part of the recommendation to make it clear that the transparency recommendation and requirement does not apply to government ICANN interactions that directly relate to ICANN policy and administrative matters. And an example would be a PDP working group, for example, on a particular issue. The goal is not to open the door for reporting requirement for interactions that with regard to such things. That doesn't seem reasonable or necessary. And so the attempt was to better clarify that for folks. So when there are interactions in the hallways and ICANN meeting, et cetera, regarding ongoing policy work at ICANN or even administrative matters with ICANN, that those aren't what we're talking about that needs to be disclosed. So I hope that we hope that clarification satisfies the concerns that were raised in the last call and makes it clear for all what exactly the transparency disclosure requirement really does and does not cover. So that's really what I wanted to talk about, and I know Michael had a few other things. I'm also happy to take questions either now or offline if folks want about that, but perhaps maybe I'll turn it to Michael to go over other changes that were made since our last call.
Thanks, Chris. Mike, you have the floor.
Thanks for that, Chris. So hopefully you can hear me. Sorry. Thank you. So I'll just mention a couple of issues in terms of amendments to the document, and then we can hope a bit of a discussion about where we stand in the process. So in the last call, it was suggested that we should follow up with the Human Rights and Ombudsman subgroups to see about making sure that there was no overlap between them or conflict between what we were discussing. I reached out to Niels at the Human Rights subgroup first, who indicated that he didn't really think that there was any issue of overlap or conflict. I reached out to Sebastian, and as a result of that, we had some discussions on the list, and we received some feedback suggesting that for two of the recommendations, specifically the recommendations for oversight over the for monitoring and evaluation of the system as a whole, so sort of tracking statistics on requests and the like, and for the recommendation regarding an oversight or review function of the exception for vexatious or frivolous or vexatious requests. Both of those, the recommendations had structured it as recommending that the ombudsman take those functions on, and we got a bit of feedback suggesting that it should be the complaints officer instead. So I shifted the recommendations in response to that to saying the complaints officer or the ombudsman, partly because the role of the complaints officer is still being formed, so I wasn't sure how those two roles would interact, and I wanted to leave a bit of flexibility there. But I wanted to open up a little bit on that particular issue, because now I've received feedback in both directions with some people objecting to the idea of potentially giving those roles over to having those roles performed by the complaints officer rather than the ombudsman. So I wanted to sort of take the temperature of things a little bit here to find out if there are thoughts one way or the other. And maybe following that, we can have a brief discussion of where we stand in the process. So are there any thoughts about that particular change? I see Caboose's hand up, but I'm not sure if that's a new one or an old one.
It is a new hand, and I would like to handle the floor to Caboose at this point. So Caboose, you have the floor. Caboose, might you be on mute?
Hello? Hello?
Yes, we'll listen to you now.
Okay, sorry. I don't know whether the title of the document is what is seen on the screen, ICANN CCWG Transparency Report, or title will be different. No problem, but I think this is not a joint report by ICANN and CCWG on the transparency. So title should be different. But this is not the question I'm asking. I'm asking that is it possible that the part change with respect to the YAC that was mentioned by Chris or by Michael should be shown on the screen, that they will see the exact wording, because I have not time to read that. And since it is a second reading, I would appreciate if you could expose it to the screen for 1 or 2 minutes. Thank you. The portion that has been changed after the last meeting that was commented by somebody from, I don't know, it was from Denmark or from whom, but I want to see what are the changes. Thank you.
Okay, so there's been two, the only changes to the document thus far. Sorry?
Can you show
it? Okay, so the only changes to the document thus far have been in terms of... Okay, if I move this, does everybody see it, or is that just me? Are you guys seeing it move now?
Yeah, please move it to the area that you have changed. Thank you.
Okay, so I'm just moving it to the recommendations. These are also reflected in the body of the piece, but the recommendations is really the important part. But so you can see,
sorry, Michael, you
number 13.
This is Thomas speaking. The you would need to point
our recommendation number 13
to the section,
yeah, please.
Which page, please?
Okay.
Yeah.
So it's recommendation number 13 on page 20. So just at the top of page 20. So just to read it out, previously it said the exception for information requests which are, quote, not reasonable, excessive, or overly burdensome, not feasible, abusive, vexatious, or made by a vexatious or querulous individual. Previously it said should be amended so that the ombudsman automatically reviews any decision to use this exception. And now it says so that either the ombudsman or the complaints officer automatically reviews any decision to use this exception. And then moving down to the bottom of page 21. Sorry, I just shifting around for me. The bottom of page 21. Previously, it said either the ombudsman or the complaints officer should be tasked with carrying out reasonable monitoring and evaluation procedures, such as publishing the number of requests received, the proportion of which were denied in whole or in part, the average time taken, and so on. So previously, that said the ombudsman should do that, and now it says the ombudsman or the complaints officer should do that. In terms of the change that Chris just mentioned, it was basically clarified. So that's in the just underneath the DIDP recommendations under ICANN's interactions with government. It says, in the interest of providing the community greater clarity, the word, there's a footnote that's been inserted that says, in terms of the disclosures of the interactions with government, to clarify, it says, such disclosure is not meant to encompass government ICANN interactions directly related to ICANN administrative and policy matters, such as the PDPWG, and otherwise disclosed statutory, quote-unquote, lobbying activities. So those are the only changes that have been made.
Okay, thank you. Thanks.
Thank you very much, Mike. Caboose, I thought that you had raised your hand again. Are there any other changes that you would like to go through, Mike?
Right. David's just mentioned that. So I wanted to take the temperature of those changes first, and then to discuss where we stand in terms of the process itself. So David's mentioning the process, but we are going to discuss that in a sec, but why don't we just finish this discussion first? And I see Sebastian's hand is up potentially with regard to the ombudsman thing.
Sebastian, do you have the floor?
Thank you. Yes, Sebastian Machere speaking. I have no problem with leaving this document like that. I think it can go to the comment period, public comment period. But I want to highlight that if we take all the different subgroups, or at least some of them are requesting something specific about an independent body. And today, the only independent body is the Ombuds Office. Then, if we at the end, we need to consolidate all the subgroups. And I think that there are three ways to handle new function or new action or new possibility. One is to include that to the ICANN Ombuds Office. The second one could be to create another independent body, different from the Ombuds Office, but with different responsibility. That's not an easy task, but it's a possibility that at the end of the work, we decide that it's something we, as a plenary, we would like to go. And the third possibility is, of course, to ask staff to do some of those action. Inside staff, there will be the complaint officer, obviously, but there could be other places within staff that some action could be done or some activity could be done. Then I think that we will need to have this discussion later on, and I have no problem with leaving the document like it is today, but just want to raise this issue to have that in mind for all the subgroup, and I'm ready to discuss that with any subgroup who wish to do so. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Sebastian. So at this point, I think that we've gone through the document and, of course, the different concerns that many have are pending, but I guess that this wouldn't keep us from publishing this report for public comment. So, Mike, if you're done with the review of the document, I would like to, of course, call for any objections to have this document as gone through the second reading and for us to publish it for public comments. Mike, are you okay with this?
Well, I am, but I know that David has raised something in the chat and also on the list. David is has mentioned previously that he would like to get input in from ICANN staff regarding the changes that we've recommended, as well as any resource constraints that would impact that, et cetera. We reached out to ICANN Legal as a result of that and got inputs, got confirmation, I think this morning, that they received it, but haven't really gotten any time frame for when they might get back to us. My inclination is that feedback on that front can be worked in during the public comment period, but I know that David has expressed his own reservations. So, you know, for me, I'm a bit uncomfortable holding that up, especially without any defined timeline for response. But I know that David feels different, or I think that David might feel differently as he's expressed, so I don't know if he wants to weigh in.
Thanks, Mike. So I guess we have David stand up. So David, could you please take the floor?
Leon, thank you. It's David McCauley for the transcript. Michael characterized it correctly. In the document, there are certain obligations that the transparency subgroup will be putting on ICANN, and they caused me some concern, but at some point I came of the view that I believed independently that ICANN was going to submit some comments, and so it just occurred to me, you know, why don't I see if this is okay with ICANN? If it is, then any concern I had would go away. And so that's the nature of my concern. With respect to leaving it or putting it out, rather, for public comment, I frankly think that would be a matter for the chairs and the co-chairs of the CCWG to decide. I really have no position one way or the other, except to say that when those comments come in from ICANN, they may prompt some additional comments from me. Thank you.
Thanks, David. So I guess we could, if there are no objections, of course, I guess we could publish it for public comment. And with having in mind that we are pending some comments from Mike and Legal that might impact, of course, the way that the final document might look. But I guess then any other comments could also impact this. So I guess we can go for public comment at this point. So are there any objections of from anyone to publishing this document for public comment and having this being read for the second time? Okay, so I see no objections. So staff, please be so kind to prepare this document for publication for public comment, and we will continue with our agenda for this call. And now I would like to turn the mic back to my co-chair, Thomas Rugert, for our next agenda item. Thomas, do you have to go?
Thanks very much, Leon. The next agenda item is going to be a review of our schedule and timeline. And I think that we have some slides prepared for that. They're not yet in my Adobe. May only be me, but let's just pause for another couple of seconds. And then continue. So it may only be me, but I don't yet see the slides in the Adobe. So I might need to leave the Adobe room and then come back in to resolve this. So, Bernie, can I ask you to speak to the slides, and then for the discussion, I will take over.
Probably the best on this one is, since we have Natalie, to have her walk us through the slides quickly, if you're okay with that, Thomas.
Certainly. Natalie, I apologize for not going to you immediately.
Hello, everybody. Can you hear me?
Yes, we can hear you, Natalie.
Good, thank you. So very briefly, just going over the dashboard here. The first graph at the top reflects the monthly activity in the subgroups and in the plenary. So the month of December and January have both been a little low. And the email participation has increased quite a bit, mostly due to the traffic on the jurisdiction subgroup. In terms of participation by affiliation, things are pretty stable there month after month. Nothing particular to report there. In terms of the overall timeline, we are now at the beginning of February, and with the intent to be done by the end of June, the objective is for the subgroups to have reached consensus on their draft recommendations no later than the end of February, so that we can then proceed with two readings in the plenary over the month of March, and in particular during the face-to-face meeting in Copenhagen, and then have enough time for public for a 42-day public comment, and after that revise, analyze the comments and revise the output as necessary before we can conclude the work by June. Thomas,
thanks very much, Natalie.
Take it from there.
Thanks so much, Natalie. Any questions from the group on this? So there was a question from Jorge in the chat, and Bernie responded that he will share with the list the methodology on how we come up with the figures you find on these charts. So that's going to be shared with everyone. But apart from that, I guess what become clear is that we will not be able to make it and complete our work by mid of this year. We know from a few sub-teams that they need more time. So Avery's group, for example, said they would that they like to step over by 2 weeks or so. Sebastian's group cannot give a prediction of how much additional time they might need at the moment. So we think, for the sake of transparency and accountability, for that matter, it is important for our group to reach out to the chartering organizations early to give them a heads up that we will need more time to complete our work. The good news is that at the moment we will likely not need additional funds because we have not exhausted the funds allocated to this project. But we need to be clear with the chartering organizations, likely the board and the rest of the community, that we will need more time. So let me pause here and ask for instant reactions from this group. So there are no hands raised. Are there any objections to the co-chairs preparing correspondence to the chartering organizations to inform about the delay? Okay, so there doesn't seem to be any objection to reaching out to the chartering organizations. Then I guess the bigger issue in terms of process is that there are rules that describe how we can manage our budget in terms of reallocating certain budget positions from one to the other. So we can reallocate funds within our given budget, but there is no rule at the moment that allows us to take money from the current fiscal year to the next fiscal year. So we do have potentially an issue with taking money into the next fiscal year. That's something that we would need to check with the chartering organizations as well as with the board as well. I would suggest that this group tries to come up with a solid budget to complete the whole task, and also with a split, i.e. an estimate of how much money we will likely need in this fiscal year, as well as how much funds will be needed for the coming fiscal year. But I guess we all need to be very clear that any revised budget and estimation about additional time needed will need to be the real thing. So I think this is one opportunity for us to, ask for an extension, but we can't do that multiple times. Otherwise, I guess we would lose credibility, and also we would lose potentially this huge opportunity for chartering, for cross-community working groups as such, to manage part of the budget that is needed to do community work. You will remember that this CCWG is actually the first CCWG in ICANN's history that was given budget responsibility for its work, and we shouldn't jeopardize this privilege, as I would call it, because there's a responsibility coming with it. So let's pause here and see whether there are any reactions from this group. So we do. So I see Caboose's hand is up. Caboose, please. Caboose, you might be muted, or your microphone might be muted. We can't hear you.
Do you hear me? I am saying that, do you wish or do you expect to have an answer at this meeting, or you just explain or describe the situation and leave the people to think it over? Perhaps what you said orally, you put it a little bit in a written form, and to have the look at that one, there might have some consequences, but not having any quick reply now, yes or no, both of them may not be appropriate. So why not you wait for another meeting and put your question, suggestion, option in a paper? Thank you.
Thanks very much, Caboose. Certainly, this very meeting is not the meeting in which we have to come up with this updated plan, but we want to get agreement from this group that everyone is okay with us reaching out to the chartering organizations to inform about the delay. We also need to get your approval that we can reach out to the appropriate teams inside ICANN, to start with the PCST, to talk about how we can move budget from one fiscal year to the next, and how we can potentially ask for additional money if need be. So we just want to be fully transparent that we need to give this heads up and talk about procedural aspects, so that this group doesn't feel bypassed by us doing these managerial steps, if you wish. But at the same time, this is also a discussion that shall pave the way and alert everyone of the seriousness of the situation, that we all need to put some thinking into revised time plans. So even though it might be difficult for a group such as the one led by Sébastien Bachelet to come up with a concrete planning, I think we can't just be silent and say nothing and say that, you know, there's no possibility for us to give a prediction. But I guess we have to potentially build in a little bit of buffer or additional time that might be needed in case, let's say, this other work is delayed, but we need to come up with something that is sustainable so that we can seek approval for moving the budget, getting additional time, getting additional budget if need be, getting the human resources, our excellent team to support us with this, and then share with the community when they can expect our work to be finished, because I think transparency is key in all this. So I see some support for this in the chat, and there's a queue forming with Sebastian and Cavus. And Sebastian, just before you speak up, let me clarify that I was just using your example to illustrate where we are. This was not in any shape or form meant to criticize your approach, and I actually sympathize with the way that you say you can't really give something final during this meeting because of the uncertainty in other areas that might impact your work. But let's hear you and then Cavus.
Thank you, Thomas. And no worries. I have no problem with what you say, but thank you. One of the reasons I don't want to give a schedule right now, it's I don't want to come back in 2 weeks or in 1 month to say, hey, guys, I was wrong. The discussion with the external reviewer is now asking for 3 more months, and then I come back with something different. It's why I would like to ask you to give me the time to know who will do the review and be sure that they will stick with the proposed timeline. If they stick with the proposed timeline, my goal as a reporter of the ICANN Ombuds Office is to finish, to produce a document for your appraisal as a plenary by the end of June, because I think we will need some weeks after the reviewer give us a report to include that in a comprehensive report, taking into account all the issue we have to take into account. And it's why it will be after June and next fiscal year to do the first reading, second reading, and the public comment period. That's my goal today, but I want to be able to come back to you with more certainty as soon as possible. I will try to do this job quickly. Thank you.
Thanks very much, Sebastian. Cavus.
You raised many, many questions. First of all, I didn't think that Sebastian's group would take longer time. I thought it would be more straightforward. So any extension foreseen should be given with logic, rationale, and reason. Why it is that? Why not could not be achieved with the amount of time available by changing the arrangements, method of working, and so on and so forth. This is number one. And number two, transfer of budget from one year to other year, that is one issue. Appropriation of the budget is another issue. So we need to have some written form with various options that you propose. Consulting the charter organization, I don't see any problem. You consult them, but before you inform them of the delay, you should explain why we have such a delay. And knowing that there is no unlimited time to do these things. And the last question, is it only Sebastian who will be in delay, or will be others as well? From the nine group, apart from those who have finished, they will be delayed. I don't know. Maybe jurisdiction would have the same problem, maybe, or may not. So I would like to have one global arrangement, but not, as you mentioned, every time coming for any specific group and asking a sort of selection suggestion. And what you said again rightly, we should maintain the credibility of the group. So we need a written form, and we need a more detailed analysis of the situation and proposals and so on and so forth, and a good time to go to the chartering organization, because sooner or later they will meet. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Tavuz. Tavuz, I guess we're trying to do exactly that. We're trying to seek or get this group's approval to reach out to chartering organizations and other parts of ICANN to inform about what we're doing and why we are facing delays. We had various discussions, as you know, with the rapporteurs, and the impression that the co-chairs got as well as staff is that there's no way for us to finish all the work by mid of this year. So I think that your suggestion that we might change working methods and get the job done in time is a good one. I just think that it's not realistic for us to push and pressure the sub-teams and the broader community that needs to chime in comment periods so that we can get that achieved. However, having said that, if the CCWG feels that we can accomplish the task, that we can get the job done, including all the steps that are required for us to complete our work as such, then please do speak up, let us know, and we will do what we can to support this group. So we don't want to be roadblocks hindering the group from achieving its goals. So I think we can leave that discussion open, and should there be ideas to change working methods and or otherwise expedite the process so that we can that we do not need to go into overtime, please do share that on the list. And in the absence of agreeable changes to our working methods, we will now take this group's response or lack of objection as an indication that this group wishes the co-chairs to prepare such communication and prepare the chartering organizations as well as the board to working beyond the end of this project as it was envisaged in our original planning. So I see Kavuz hand this up. Kavuz, please.
Yes, it is certainly mainly due to the working method. I'll give you two examples. We discussed one meeting, what is the meaning of respect to human rights. We discussed another meeting, what is the meaning of to address. These are not necessary. This is known. Address is address. It's to deal with and to consider and so on and so forth. So the people bringing, or the other issue yesterday, those that I can communicate, I can organization, this generates unnecessary discussions and taking time. Or looking to the framework of the organization, why only we limited ourselves at the beginning to the office, to Annex 6 and not discuss Annex 12 and 6 together, and now we have to say wait until we discuss Annex 12 and come back and re- So these are the, I think we need to review our working methods. There is a deficient, really. We have to accept to criticize ourselves. It is not fault of any individual. It is our collective fault. So we have to review that. So before asking for any extension, I think you have to see what are the measures, ways, and means that we have to take into account in order to achieve the objectives of finishing everything within this the period, as unless might be very, very exceptional. If we start this course of action, everybody continue to discuss. The more time, the more discussions and budget. I think the budget of limited and so on. I don't think that we should opt for that one. But so I have no problem. You open an email or you open a mailing message and people start to comment on that. I will do some comments and the others, and then you go ahead with this one. But I think working methods should be changed. This is not efficient one. Totally not efficient one. Thank you.
Thanks very much, Kavuz. Kavuz, I think everyone will agree in retrospect certain parts of our work could have done faster. But as you know, the work in the multi-stakeholder community sometimes is cumbersome, and sometimes groups need robust debate before they come to consensus. Kavuz, what I would like to ask you is whether we should note your intervention as an objection to the proposed way forward, or whether this is an encouragement to review what we have and how we can expedite things. Because I do not see any other objection or criticism to the way proposed, i.e. to reach out to the chartering organizations and to prepare for asking for an extension of time and potentially budget. Kabus, please.
Yeah, no objection and no criticism to anybody. It's just comment. We need to also improve our ways of dealing the matter. I have no objection. You can go ahead, but I think we should not open the door that we are going to the unlimited extension and so on and so forth. It's not only money, it is some other things. But please kindly also not object to reviewing the voting method. I am not objecting to your proposal, nor criticizing you or any individual. I am criticizing ourselves, a collective criticism. Thank you.
Thanks very much, Kavus, and I much appreciate your comment. In fact, I guess we are all fully in favor of streamlining our working methods, and actually I think sometimes we should remind ourselves of the now famous die-in-the-ditch test that we've applied a couple of times in Workstream 1, because sometimes the discussions seem to linger on and on and on, and we might need to bring them to closure earlier and in a more stringent fashion as we move on. Sebastian, your hand is raised, please.
Yes, thank you, Tamai. Just to remind everybody that in addition to Workstream 1, decision that what we need to do for Workstream 2, we had an addition of duties taken from the ATRT 2, and at least for my group, it changed a lot what we were supposed to do and how we will do it. And it's just a reminder. Thank you.
Thanks very much, Sebastian. So there are no further hands raised, which is why I think that we can end this agenda item. And I would like to thank the whole group for their support for us to take preparatory measures to ask for an extension of time and resources. We should also note as an action item for the sub-team rapporteurs to come up with a revised time plan, let's say within the next 10 days if possible, so that we get the opportunity to finalize what's hopefully going to be a robust and reliable plan to complete our task. So with that, we can move to the last agenda item, which is any other business. So let me ask whether there's any other business that you would like to discuss. Kavus, your hand is raised.
Yes, the confirmation of what was said at the beginning of this meeting. Do we understand that now there would be a face-to-face meeting in Johannesburg for the CCWG one day before the start of the ICANN or not? Just for the confirmation.
I think the best answer we can give you at the moment is that most likely we're going to have a face-to-face meeting before the Johannesburg meeting starts. Let me virtually look at staff to confirm this or rectify. I think we don't have a precise date, do we?
I think sometimes it should be a little bit more effective. If you don't have precise date, that some people, they have a ticket and so on and so forth, they might have a problem because to reserve the ticket longer time, you have a benefit from the very, very low price. If you leave it to the last 2 months before, you have higher price. So why it is difficult that at some time you decide, one, do we have face-to-face? Two, and what time? Usually it was before the ICANN meeting, one day before. So what is the difficulty that at your next meeting you cannot decide on that? Thank you.
I guess the best answer we can give you, Kavus, is that we can't just create the meeting agenda ourselves, but we need to consult with the ICANN meetings team. So, Leon, if you have a better answer to this, please chime in. Otherwise, I would note as an action item for the co-chairs and staff to reach out to the meetings team for ICANN 59 and try to get a definitive answer on a meeting date for this group as soon as possible.
Thanks, Thomas. Yes, well, I just wanted to follow up on what you said and, of course, address Kavu's question. We cannot assure that we will hold a face-to-face meeting yet, but we, as Bernie said at the beginning of the call, we are beginning to plan on travel issues for ICANN 59, and I would guess that we most likely will have an answer before the travel planning gets open. I have been told that staff is working with the meetings team to determine the date before the travel application opens up next week. So I guess we will be doing, of course, an announcement on the list if there is room for holding a face-to-face meeting prior to our Johannesburg meeting. So I guess everything will just turn out fine, Kavus. You will have the dates soon enough to plan your travels, and we will let all know in a timely fashion whether we will be holding or not a face-to-face meeting before the official meeting in Johannesburg. So that would be all for me, Thomas. Thanks.
Thanks very much, Leon. I don't see any further hands raised, which is why I think we can adjourn early. So I'd like to thank all of you for this productive call, particularly the hardworking sub-teams and their leaderships. So now we could actually get two papers advanced and through the plenary check, if you wish. Thanks, everyone. Let's talk at the next plenary call or at sub-team calls. Have a great day or evening. Bye-bye for now.
Thanks, everyone. Bye-bye.
Thank you. Thank you. Bye-bye.